Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
All right. Good to see you guys, Central family. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here. And so grateful if you're joining us online. Thank you for being here. If you're at one of our locations, we're grateful to have you guys. If you're joining us in our partnership with God Behind Bars and different prison facilities, thank you so much for being with us today. Well, hey, I want you to think a little bit about some of the white lies that our parents may have told us to get us to do certain things. Remember these? Like, if you sit too close to the TV, your eyes will get hurt, right? Your eyes will go bad. My mom used to throw that out a lot on us, which is funny now that we all have devices that we hold like six inches up to our face, right? And watch whatever. But another one was, if you pop your knuckles, you know, you'll get arthritis. And I don't mean like arthritis when you're 90. I mean like arthritis right now, which I wish my wife would have believed that, because she's popped her knuckles our entire relationship and it drives me crazy. Another one was this. If you go number one in the public pool, it will turn red. Any of you hear this one? If only that was true, right? It would make being in the public pool a whole lot safer. The one that my grandma shared with me that really marked me was this. If you cross your eyes for too long, they'll get stuck that way. Anybody ever hear this one? They'll get stuck that way. The rest of your life, your eyes will be crossed. You'll look ridiculous. And I believed her. I mean, I remember, like, I was so afraid my entire childhood to cross my eyes because I thought they'll get stuck. It'll be, you know, it'll be that way forever. So I'm just going to show you now what freedom looks like, okay? You ready? You ready for this? Ah, that feels good. Freedom. Anyway, we have all these lies that we start, even if they're little lies that we carry that start to mark our lives. But when we get older, we can start to believe bigger lies, more devastating lies, lies that take root in our minds and in our hearts. And then we start to live according to what we believe, and we start to live that lie in our lives. And so we've been talking about how we can get rid of some of these lies that we need to get out of our mind. And that's what this teaching series has been about. Last week, we looked at the lie, I'm done. And we talked about how sometimes we kind of feel like we're done, but even when you feel like you're done, God isn't done with you. And you're not finished. We talked about how God still has future chapters that are being written, and this isn't the final chapter. And that's important for us to hang on to in this season. Today I want to talk about the lie that I'm on my own. The lie I'm on my own. And a lot of us today, especially in this season, have been sort of walking around carrying that lie in our heart. Some of you feel like you're on your own financially. Some of you feel like you're on your own with your work situation. Feel like you're on your own as it comes to your family, or you're on your own in a marriage. Some of you single parents feel like you're just on your own when it comes to raising your kids. Maybe you wrestle with anxiety or depression, and you just feel like, man, nobody knows what it's like to just get out of bed and face the day. And so you feel like you're on your own in that situation in our lives. I've felt that. I think we've all felt that at some point in our lives. But the danger is when you start to feel like you're on your own, you start to live according to that lie. And it will lead to exhaustion and burnout. It'll lead to you kind of being just tired and worn out because you're carrying everything as if it's all up to you, as if you're on your own. It'll also often cause people to pull back from others because you got to handle it on your own. You've been hurt in the past, so you're going to take care of things on your own. You're going to pull back from those who want to help you and those who want to walk with you. And that lie is going to not only affect you, it's going to start affecting your kids, your family members, your friends, even your coworkers, because it's going to affect your attitude and sort of how you face this season. And so it's easy to believe that we're on our own, but it's a lie. God has not disappeared just because you're disappointed. God didn't disappear, right, just because you're disappointed. God didn't abandon you just because things are hard right now. God hasn't left you alone even when you feel alone. We've said over the last few weeks, feelings are not facts, right? Our faith teaches us and reminds us that God is moving and working. And whether we see that right now, and even whether we feel that right now in our lives, is not the most important thing. We believe it by faith. God is for you, even when it feels like everything is against you. And we got to hang on to that in our lives today. So to get us started, we're going to go to the book of Judges in the Old Testament, and we're going to learn from a judge named Gideon. Now, Judges is a fascinating book. The Israelites have gotten into the promised land. They've gotten sort of settled. And then we come to the book of Judges. By the way, we looked at that in the last teaching series that we did called God in the Wild. So if you weren't here for that, check that out and lean in and listen. But when you get to the book of Judges, you see that there's this cycle that occurs again and again. The Israelite people, they get settled, and then they begin to wander. And they get complacent in their relationship with God. They start to worship false gods. They start to go their own way. And so inevitably what happens, you see it again and again and again. The book of Judges has this refrain that keeps happening. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone just did what was right in their own eyes. And so God removes his hand of protection from his people. They get conquered by other peoples, and they find themselves in a desperate situation. And so now they cry out to God again. They come back to him. And so God will answer their prayers by raising up a judge. And that judge is a leader that will go forward and lead them back to peace and stability in their community. But the same cycle happens again and again and again and again throughout the years that the book of Judges covers. The people start to go their own way again after a time of peace. They start to kind of worship false gods and all of this, and inevitably God removes his hand of protection. And so they get invaded, and now they find themselves in a tough situation, and again they surrender to God, and now God raises up another judge. And that's when we land in Judges chapter 6, this cycle is already happening. We meet a guy named Gideon. And Gideon lives at a time where the Midianites, this neighboring group of peoples, have conquered much of the Israelite people, and are basically for 7 years, they've been coming in during the harvest. They take all the harvest. They take everything they want, basically. So things have been hard. They've been tough. The Israelites they've gone without. Food's scarce. Nobody has any money. Everybody's broke. Like, that's where things are. When we meet Gideon, here's the thing. He's hiding out in this old stone wine press, and he's trying to harvest grain. He's just trying to get food to put on the table, and he's hiding out because he knows if the raiders find him or see him, that they'll take the grain that he's already got. So that's where Gideon is. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord shows up. Now, sometimes when the angel of the Lord shows up, it's like obvious and supernatural, and then sometimes in the Old Testament, it's not always immediately apparent to the person the angel of the Lord is speaking to. And that appears to be the case with Gideon, because at first, I think he sort of takes it like it's just somebody who showed up. This person who shows up says, this is how he doesn't say, like, hey, how you doing, or what's up, Gideon? He says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Which is fascinating, because in this moment, Gideon is anything but a mighty hero. He's a hiding weakling, hiding out trying to harvest food so that it doesn't get stolen by the raiders. But the angel of the Lord says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Now check this out. Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. Help me out when we get to the red word here. But this is how Gideon responds. He kind of pushes back a little bit. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Come on, somebody. Has anybody felt the power of this question in the coronavirus months? Like, if God is with us, right, if God is really moving, if God is here, if God is present, like you say, Judd, if God is available, then why are we going through this? This is where Gideon is. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, if the Lord is with me, then why am I hiding out in a wine press just trying to get enough food to put it on the table to keep it from the raiders who are going to come and who are going to take it away? In fact, look what he says in the next sentence. He says, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about. He's like, if God is so awesome, then why does my life feel a lot more like misery than a miracle? Come on, if God is so good, why does my life feel like a burden rather than a blessing? Can anybody relate to that question in your life right now? Does anybody understand the pain and the struggle of that question? Because it's real, right? It's just being honest. There's nothing wrong with the question, right? Because this is just an honest question. It's an honest statement. And many of us have made it in the last few months. People that are unemployed, people that aren't sure how they're going to put food on the table, people that feel they feel like everything's up in the air, it's okay to just be like, I don't understand. I don't understand why this is happening, and I don't understand why, you know, how to move forward in the midst of this situation. Gideon goes on. He says, didn't they say, the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has what? Abandoned us. You see that? He's like, God has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. You know what Gideon's saying? I'm on my own. I'm on my own. And I've got to handle it on my own. I got to deal with my problems on my own. I got to deal with this situation on my own. But friends, the good news today is we're never really on our own. And as a person of faith, you're going to be inspired as you lean into Gideon's life and see how God reminds him that God is with him even in the difficult season. So how do we push back on the lie, I'm on my own? Well, one of the first ways we can is simply this, to reclaim your calling. To reclaim your calling, because you have a calling, you have a purpose in your life, and your circumstance today, your situation today can't rob you of that calling, because God gave it to you and God put it on your life. Listen, 2020, by all accounts, has been a brutal year. It's been tough. I saw this picture. Kids born in the year 2020. Look at this. Look at these kids. Usually you have like beautiful little kid faces, right? Like I thought this little meme was pretty funny. Like some of you, this is how 2020 is for you, right? Right here, this kind of angry face. This other guy's just like, what the heck? But this is my favorite. Little Winston Churchill going on down here. He's just like, what have you brought me into? You know, what is going on? 2020 is going to mark us, but it doesn't have to define us. 2020 has been hard and will continue to be hard, right? But it doesn't have to destroy us, because we are not alone even in the midst of the struggle and of the situation. And that's why it's fascinating when God comes to Gideon through in this situation. He says to him, mighty hero, mighty hero. God doesn't call him by what his appearance is in that moment. God calls him by the potential that he sees in his life because he is with him. Listen, when God looks at you, he doesn't simply look at you in your situation and call you by your past or by your problem or by your situation. He calls you according to the potential that he has put in you and that he sees for you. And some of you, you feel like anything but a hero right now, right? You feel like anything but a hero, but I'm here to call it out. I believe over your life, God is saying, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Listen, yeah, you may have gotten laid off, but mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Yeah, you may feel like you're alone as a parent, but mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Your life isn't defined by your situation. Your life is defined by your Savior. And so your potential is not determined by the problems you face, but by the God that you serve. He's the one that determines your potential and where you go. So Judges chapter 6, here's Gideon. He gets called a mighty hero. Then verse 14, this is what we read. Very next sentence says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the what? Strength you have. Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. So he says to Gideon, go with the strength you have. Some of you feel like, well, that's pretty lame. I don't have much strength, man. That's why I'm in church. I don't have much strength right now. You know, that's why I'm here. Like, I'm supposed to go with the strength I have. I'm not going to get very far. But he's saying, look, I'm sending you. And here's the fascinating thing about God. And you see God do this again and again. You know, often the miracle comes along the way. And the way you get to the miracle is you take steps with the strength that you have. You may not feel like you have much strength. Some of you start looking out and you're like, how am I going to get to the end of the year? Well, that's overwhelming, right? I don't have the strength to get to the end of the year. I don't know that I have the strength to get to next week. You don't have to have the strength to get to next week. All you have to do is have the strength to get up today and go through the day with the strength you have. And God's strength meets you along the way and empowers you to keep going. Somebody right now is like, I don't have the strength to get through all this online school. I know some teachers right now already pulling their hair out like, I can't do this. I don't even know how to log on a computer. And now I'm trying to figure all this out. Like, I don't have the strength to face the educational challenges that are ahead of me. I know somebody today is like, I don't know how to face the, you know, the business challenges that are ahead of us. And I think the word to Gideon is a great word to us. Hey, don't worry about all that. Go with the strength that you have, and God will meet you along the way. That's exactly what he does in Gideon's life. I think it's why Paul says this. Let's go to this next verse in, let's just go ahead and bring up this verse in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in what? In weakness. Now, I read this, and I think, I don't know about you, but so, you know, sometimes I could kind of look at this and be like, okay, so God's saying, like, my power works best in weakness. So what this means is, like, if I follow God and just keep living my faith and all of that, even though in the places I feel weak now, God's going to make me strong, and I'm going to feel strong. I'm going to be like Superman. It's like that place that used to be weak, now I'm like, boom, bring it. I'm the rock. But I actually think there's another way of reading this, which is that in the area where you feel weak, you may continue to feel weak. You may feel weak the whole time. But God's strength is what comes along and lets you get through it in spite of your weakness. His power works best in weakness. So you go with the strength that you have. You go with the strength you have. I mean, the very thing that makes you feel weak can become a doorway to God's strength. It's how God works. Like, it's how he moves. So reclaim your calling. You have a calling. Remember who God says you are, and remember what he has called you to. Listen, he's called you to a better future. He's called you to a relationship and a friendship with him. He's called you to a greater life. He's called you to be an overcomer in a world that is overwhelmed. He has called you to be a forgiver in a world that condemns. He's called you to be a light in dark times. He's called you to be his representative. He has called you to a living hope. He's called you to a spirit of boldness. He's called you to a life of gentleness. He's called you to share his good news. He's called you to experience his joy. He has called you to be his witness. He's called you to make his name great. He's called you to live as his outpost of love. He's called you to be a blessing in a world that's buried in burdens. He's called you to stand up for those who cannot stand. He's called you to care for those who feel forgotten. He's called you to be an example of his overwhelming grace. He's called you to be an object of his compassion. He's called you to a life that can only get better in him. And until that day, when he dries every tear from every eye, he has called you to be filled with all the strength you need for whatever is making you feel weak. Your life is not your own, and that means you are never on your own. You're not on your own. And so I get that lie. I get that it gets planted in our minds. I get that it's easy to let it start to just swirl its cycle, that we're alone and we're in this on our own and nobody will help us and nobody will walk with us. But that is a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible says God is with us. He has a calling for us, and we have to step in to our calling. So if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're lonely, if you feel like you're on your own, I want to say to you what God says to Gideon. All right, mighty hero. All right, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. And that's my second point. Remember who is with you. Remember who is with you. I remember years ago, I was out in our church lobby at our Henderson location, and I was standing there, and a guy had showed up at church. He hadn't, like, come into the service. He just really showed up. It was his first time here. He was angry. He was upset about other things. I'm not sure he was very mentally stable. And he walked in, and he was basically looking for trouble. And I saw him, you know, in the lobby, and I walked over to the guy, and I started talking to them. And I can't even remember what exactly he was talking about. A lot of it didn't make sense. But he was yelling, and he got louder and louder and louder. And eventually, he's like 1 inch from my face, and he's cussing, and he's calling me all kinds of names, and his fists are all balled up, you know. And I'm thinking, this guy is going to lay me down right here in the church lobby. And, you know, I don't come from, like, you know, the pristine, most perfect side of the tracks. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm actually saying to myself is, if he hits you, don't swing back. You're in the church lobby. Like, you can't do that in the church lobby, Judd. This will be your last moment as a pastor. You know, I'm just being real with you. I'm like, don't just calm. And I'm thinking of Proverbs, a calm answer turns away wrath. And so I'm just trying to calm the guy down. I just keep trying to smile, you know, just trying to be like warm in the moment, even though I'm like, this guy is going to. And at one point, he's literally almost touching my nose. He's just right there. And I'm just like totally not reacting, not ramping up, just trying to stay cool. And so eventually, by the grace of God, I'm able to, he kind of diffuses the situation, right? This guy finally turns and he walks away. And I start breathing again. And I remember I look down and my right hand is just trembling. You know, I didn't even realize in the moment you're just holding it all together, right? But I'm shaking. I was pretty shaken up. And I turn around. And when I turn around, I saw something I'll never forget. I didn't realize that anybody else was with me in that moment other than God, you know. I'm just in the lobby and this guy's going off. But when I turn around, I see like three of my friends. And interesting, they were like positioned in such a way to not be threatening. They're just like leaning up against the wall, like they're just sort of chilling out, you know. But one was a police officer who was on the SWAT team. Another was just a bad dude you did not want to meet in the alley, you know what I'm saying, at night. Another was a police officer off duty. And they're all just sort of standing there. And as soon as I turned around, they all just nodded at me. And as I kind of walked back, they said, "Hey, we got your back, Pastor. We had it. We were watching it the whole time." One guy goes, "If he'd have made a move, that'd have been the last move he'd make." And it was a cool moment to realize sometimes we feel like we're on our own, but really there's a whole lot of people that have our back. And some of you right now, you're out there and you're fighting the fight and you're doing everything you can. And I know you feel like you're on your own, but I want to tell you, as a church, as your pastor, we have your back. You may not even realize that there are people behind you, but we're here behind you. That's what the church is supposed to be. We're here. And more than that, God is here. God is present. You're never on your own. In fact, look at how Gideon responds to the angel of the Lord out of his own insecurities. And then look at the response. Look at this. Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse 15. "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest of the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." Any of you ever felt this way? I was like the last kid. I was the fourth kid. There's two pictures of me in my entire childhood. All the last kids, raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about? All the babies of the family, right? Like it's like we didn't even exist, man. The first kids, oh, they get the videos and, you know, all the things, right? And then the last kid comes along and you're like, yeah, we're over that. Some of you know what it means to feel like you're last, like you're the last in your class, you're the last at work, you're the last in life. And a lot of times it's overachievers who are actually first who feel like they're last, which is why they keep overachieving. That's a whole, you need a counselor. But yes, right, that's real. I mean, it's easy for us to live out of our insecurity and to believe this lie that we're last. He's like, "I'm the least in my entire family." And the Lord said to him, and this is what I think the Lord says to you and to me who feel like, "I can't do it. I don't have it. I'm the least. I'm the last. I'm not talented enough. I'm not strong enough." He says, "I will be," help me, "with you. I will be with you. It's not about you, Gideon." God often picks the last and the least so that he'll get the praise and the glory. He does. That's why in the New Testament, Paul says, you know, God often calls the things that were not right? And he raises them up to nullify the things that are, to show that God is the one who's moving and working. And I think part of Gideon's challenge is he believes a lie that many of us internalize. I'll put it on a slide here. We believe that because we face the presence of problems, that therefore equals the absence of God. And therefore, I'm on my own. But listen, just because you face problems, that has nothing to do with whether or not God is present in your life. Problems are what it means to live in a broken, fallen world. The Bible, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. Remember that? Trouble. Remember that song? Trouble, 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 trouble. I wish I could sing, man. Look, knowing trouble just means being alive, right? And we all face it. And so I think what Gideon needs to reframe in his mind, what a lot of us need to reframe, is something that looks like this. Start not with the presence of your problems. You start with the presence of God. That's a huge shift. Some of us, every morning, we need to wake up, and all you're going to think about when you wake up is the presence of your problems, right? They were there when you went to bed. They're still there. They kept you up half the night, and they're still there when you get up in the morning. But it changes when you start with the presence of God, which that equals strength to face your problems, not eliminate your problems, which that equals the realization, I'm never alone. I am never alone. And so when you get up in the morning, and all you can think about is the problem that kept you up half the night, you got to shift your thinking to think about the presence. You got to think about the presence of God that can give you strength, that you are not alone in this situation that you're facing. God's with you. God is with you, and he can see you through it. God can turn a burden into a blessing, and he can do it by changing the way that you carry it. When you carry it with him, when you trust him, when you lean into him. Remember when my kids were little, periodically, well, first of all, bedtime is a stressful time when your kids are little. You know, just getting them down, all the things you have to do. With Ethan, oh my gosh, you know, he never went to sleep. We have to sit outside of his room for an hour, 2 hours. We take turns, and because if we left, he would just get up and roam around, right? So we had to, like, be there on him, right, to get him to go to sleep. Emma was a lot better at going to sleep, but anything could wake her up. I remember one time, middle of the night, she's a little bitty kid. She wakes up, she's yelling, you know, you know, and I'm like, what is going on? I run into her room, I turn the light on, I'm barely awake, and no lie, she's laying in her bed, her little fingers right in front of her face, just like this, and she says, booger, booger, get it off me. Different if she was a little boy, right? He'd be like, what's that? Gotta love the boys. I'm like, you woke me up just to come in here and get the booger off your finger? You gotta be kidding me right now. But I remember both my kids at some point would wake up shortly after we put them to bed, and Lori and I hadn't gone to bed yet, and they would be scared, and they would, you know, run their little toddler legs into our room, and they would realize that we weren't there, that we weren't in bed. And they would start to cry, panic, completely lose it, because it's like we're gone. And I remember running up, grabbing my kids, and telling them the same thing. Listen, mom and dad, we're here. It's okay. I got you, right? I love you. You know, I'll always be here for you. You don't ever have to worry. We're never going to leave you. You're not abandoned. I'm here. I got you. And just getting them to calm down and to breathe and to realize things were going to be okay. And then somehow, by the grace of God, getting them back to sleep. How much more us right now? Some of you, you know, it's dark. And it's been pretty dark in your life for this season. And you're wondering where God is, and you're looking around, and you're wondering if he disappeared or if he abandoned you. And I think he wants to say to us, look, I've always been here. I will always be here. I have got you. I'm watching. I'm watching you. I'm holding you. I'm taking care of you. I've got you. I am with you. Some of you say, God, I'm too weak morally or spiritually or physically. And God just wants to say to you today, I'll be with you. God, I have no skills or talents. I'm totally not qualified. And God wants to say, I'll be with you. God, I'm not smart enough. I never did well in school. I never met a test that I couldn't bomb. Anybody feel me here? God's saying, look, I'll be with you. Somebody says, God, I'm not a brave person. I'm not bold. I'm a total introvert. I make everything awkward. God's saying, but I'll be with you. Say, God, I'm totally overwhelmed and tired. He's saying, I will be with you. God, I don't know if I can handle it. God's saying, I'll be with you. God, I'm totally kind of out of my league. God's saying, I'll be with you. God, what if my best isn't enough? He's saying, I will be with you. Listen, what if I make a huge, huge, huge mistake? God's saying, I'll be with you even in that situation. What if I can't get back all that I've lost? God's saying, I'll be with you. What if no one helps me? God's saying, I'll be with you. What if I end up alone? I'll be with you. What if I'm rejected? I'll be with you. What if I let everyone down? I'll be with you. What if everyone lets me down? I'll be with you. What if the weight becomes too much to bear? I'll be with you. What if I'm too tired to move on? I'll be with you. If God is with you, doesn't matter who's against you, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is victory. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is joy. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you got to push back on the lie. I'm on my own. Reclaim your calling. You're called to be light in the darkness. Go with the strength that you have today and serve others as you can today, and God will meet you with his power in the middle of it. And then remember who is with you. God is with you. It changes everything. It doesn't matter how you feel, because it's not about you. It doesn't matter where you've been, because it's not about you. It doesn't matter how unqualified you feel, because it's not about you. It's about him, and he's got your back. Listen, God didn't disappear. He didn't disappear just because you're disappointed. He hasn't abandoned you just because things are hard. He is present, and he will see you through this. Maybe some of you, this is your opportunity to come back to him and return to him. Maybe it's time to surrender your life and trust Christ and experience his goodness and his grace and his forgiveness for you in your life today. If that's where you're at, I'd love to lead you in a simple prayer, just opening your heart to him. In fact, I'd like to ask everybody to just bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you'd like to become a follower of Jesus today, if you'd like to take that step, wherever you're at, you can begin that journey by repeating this prayer after me. You can say it out loud or in your own heart. God knows. Say, dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name. And friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, if it's your commitment, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just make eye contact with me if you're here in the room. Just slip your hand in the air. Acknowledge you're going to follow him. You're going to trust him in your life today. God bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Just reach out to him today. Thank you. God, we thank you for your love. I thank you for each person just reaching out to you, trusting you today. I pray you'll show up in a huge and powerful way in each of their lives. Forgive, restore, heal. We thank you for the chance to know you and to follow you. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.